And so gospel coaching is a multidimensional conversation. They're not just one person asking questions. It's a conversation. And if you're just asking questions, you're interrogating somebody. You're not having a conversation with them.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions.
It's good
and
to
comments.
Be back.
Glad to see you from all your travels again.
Again, yes.
And we're glad you're getting ready to go on a sabbatical.
Yes, I am. Looking forward to that.
You'll be gone, and the office won't be the same without your smiling face. If you're part of the CMM network of coaches, you know he's kind of a pastor to our coaches and does a great job caring for people. If you're part of another network and don't have that, you need to email Jim and say, would you become my buddy? Because you don't have a friend like Jim. Jim's a good friend.
Thank you, Tom. You're very kind.
And a good shepherd to our coaches. So we have an interesting topic today, because we're going to talk again. This podcast is for people that are doing gospel coaching. Other coaches, I understand, from other tribes are tuning in to find out what is this gospel coaching thing. But this is for gospel coaches. Glad to have them aboard and a resource to you who've been trained in gospel coaching, either through CMM in the many years we've been training people. Our partner globally on the global footprint stage, city to city, doing gospel coach training. So today, I want us to tackle a subject that we don't get into at all during the foundations training that we do, actually don't get to until our continue workshop, which is our next level, more advanced, section on gospel coaching. But we spend a lot of time in foundations and work at Gospel Coaching Foundations on asking questions. That's it. We make them, in most exercises, only ask open-ended questions. When they get to the trihort level, we tell them, we make a big deal about, okay, you need to ask more questions, you weren't asking good questions. Besides the fact that good questions produce good answers most of the time, why are we forcing that on them, Jim?
It reminds me of one of the first times that I did a foundations training without you, and it was a context I was unfamiliar with, and one guy kind of early on interrupted and said, so how is this different than counseling? And I said, well, what do you mean by counseling? He said, well, you know, when people come to me with problems and I tell them what to do. And I said, well, how's that going for you? Not well. Well, wait till we finish the rest of this training, because we're going to teach you how to listen. You know, all of us as pastors, the primary ones of us who've been trained are, we're taught to tell people and to teach. We have classes on how to preach. We have classes on how to give advice, but nobody has a class on how to listen. And so we, in essence, at the foundations, those of you who are having flashbacks now to the exercise where we give you pre-selected questions, we're tying one hand behind your back and making you listen more deeply, because people need to be listened to. right? That's a big part of coaching.
Yeah, I remember, so pastors generally, when people come to them for counseling, they're presenting a problem to them, whether it's a marital problem or a moral problem they're faced with. And their question always to the pastor is, so what should I do? You know, tell me what to do. How do I get out of this fix, or how do I fix this problem? And often, even in as a biblical-oriented kind of pastor, you might read them a Bible verse, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is what God says, so you go do this. And so they get their answer that they're looking for. So we are tellers most of the time.
Yeah.
Not just in teaching or preaching, but also in our pastoral counseling sessions.
Yeah. It's a real temptation for me, even having been a coach for so long, I know what they ought to do. Yeah. And I want to just tell them and cut to the chase. But the discipline of helping them draw it out and discover it for themselves is looking at where they are on their radar screen. Even though I'm familiar with where they've been, they have to learn to interpret the data, and they have to learn to interpret the context and what they're going through and what the Lord says. So yeah, we really jump up and down a lot on that whole issue of good questions and listening.
So they say, someone said that confession's good for the soul, but lousy for the reputation. So at the risk of making my reputation turn lousy here, I find myself, Jim, after doing gospel coaching for 20 years, not asking enough good questions. And good coaches really have a collection of good questions that help move the conversation along.
Yeah.
Right? And good questions are not, we're not just asking questions. Like, we're not teaching, just ask questions.
No, not just randomly. Yeah. We're going somewhere.
Have you ever seen that in a tri-hoarder?
Yes.
Guys just trying to ask questions. It's like,
yeah,
they're disconnected to one another. It's like, there's no, like, where are you headed with this? Well, I'm asking questions. That's not really the point, is it?
No, yeah. It's not just to gather random information. It's an intentional gospel-focused conversation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've laid this principle down. I know it's certainly within, if you're listening for the whatever session this is, we've said it on many other occasions, that heart-oriented questions elicit heart kinds of answers. And so the best kind of questions get to the heart, the motivational structures, of what they're really after, what they're really living for or trying to produce. In some cultures, the whole thing of idolatry doesn't show up well, but when we say that, we mean, well, what are they really living for? What are they really after to bring for themselves a sense of approval or self-approval or a sense of their own security, like I'm safe in this world or I'll be okay in this world, or that sense of comfort, you know, in their life. What are they really looking for to bring them that sense of peace? That's what they're really living for. Whether they say it's, whether they're singing Christ is enough for me or not, that's what they're really living for.
Yeah.
So, so we're asking good kinds of questions. And we've said in training that a good question is what?
It's an open-ended question.
Yeah.
It's important to start with open-ended questions because you're trying to draw things out, but we also do teach the skillful use of closed-ended questions because those really help us clarify what it is that we're working on. And so there's a variety of different kinds of questions that we want to use. And if you're listening today wondering, do I ever get to tell anybody anything, you're going to see here by the end of this episode that there is a place for telling and teaching and motivating that's not only asking questions.
Right. So asking questions is important, but in gospel coaching, we don't only ask questions.
That's right.
I know we frustrated you in foundations by in trihorts by only asking questions, but we really don't want to exasperate the coachee.
Right.
I remember years ago, a man was telling me that he taught coaching and had come to realize that the coaching methodology he taught by only asking questions didn't go far enough. And so he was learning a different methodology. He said he was He was actually at a gas station once, filling up his car, and a guy pulled in. And he said, "Hey, I know you. You know, I took your seminar on coaching." He said, "Really?" He says, "How's it going?" He goes, "I'm just frustrated as the dickens because I ask my coach questions and he just asks me questions back, and I don't need any more questions. I got enough questions. I need answers." And so gospel coaching is a multidimensional conversation. They're not just one person asking questions. It's a conversation. And if you're just asking questions, you're interrogating somebody. You're not having a conversation with them. Yeah.
That's right.
So at the Continue workshop, this accelerated or advanced level thing, we talk about a thing called adaptive coaching. Tell us what that is.
Yeah. Adaptive coaching, if you think about it in four quadrants, on one axis you have skill and knowledge. A person who might be low in skill or low in knowledge is different than a person who has a lot of skill and a lot of knowledge. And then on another axis, you have their motivation. Someone who's highly motivated is, they're a world changer. They're really making things happen. And then at different times, even in some coaching conversations, a guy can be really motivated about one topic and very demotivated by another. So we use this adaptive coaching idea in the Continue workshop as a way to give people the opportunity to recognize that this is something else that you have to diagnose, not just ask the question, is it a skill or a knowledge or a motivation or an enemy issue, but what do we do when there's a different combination? And there are different responses that a gospel coach should adapt depending on where the person is at that time.
Right. So a good gospel coach is able to discern then with a discerning heart the distinct place they find their coachee, where they are in their own development. And like you said, in some instances, they may be very developed in one category and not have the skill or knowledge base for another category. They might be highly motivated to do one thing in their job and very under-motivated to do something else in their job.
That's right. That's right.
So there's a varied degree of readiness in each coachee, depending on where you find them. So gospel coaching, then, I would say, requires this skillful interplay of an amount of direct communication or support with the readiness of the coachee, when the coachee's ready, you know, to do it.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you've received in your foundations class when you've trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
So give us in our mind's eye those four quadrants then that you mentioned, like what would be the categories? One being the bottom left-hand corner, two being the bottom right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. Those would be the low skill, low knowledge, whether they're also low motivation and high motivation.
Okay, so that's number two would be
highly motivated, but with low skill.
Low skills. Mm-hmm. And then the top right quadrant would be what?
Those are the guys and women, right, who are highly skilled and highly motivated. You're going to coach them differently than the other three.
And then the top left quadrant, number four, would be what?
That's the, they're highly skilled and very knowledgeable, but for some reason, could be an enemy attack. They're just low in motivation.
Right. Yeah. So a gospel coach and a skilled person coaching somebody understands those dynamics and understands the interplay and knows how to coach that person with wherever they find that their coachee in those things. So when a coachee is low in their motivation and low in their skill, so that's that bottom left-hand quadrant, right? What does the coach have to do?
Well, they have to adapt their approach, and you really have to, find out what's demotivating them. Where is the enemy attacking potentially? They're oftentimes that they're just so bogged down. They need some structure. They need some assistance. They need help. And coaches can be a little bit more directive in setting clear and appropriate objectives. The whole point in this would be a really exasperating point if you're a coachee. Put yourself in that situation for a moment. If you're really struggling and you really don't know what to do and your coach just keeps asking you questions, that is a recipe for frustration.
Yes, very much so.
Right? So you don't just pile on question after question after question. It's okay at that time in adaptive coaching and gospel coaching to tell them a little bit about some of your experience. Again, it's not about you, but you can identify with them. You can identify with the struggle. I find there's always an element of the enemy causing doubt. So that's a point where we as gospel coaches should pray quite a bit.
Yeah.
And really, ask, what's really going on? Has this happened before? Go into their backstory. Go into the ruin and the alienation and start digging around so that we have a sense of why the motivation is low.
Yeah, so I think of that verse in Ephesians 6 where Paul says, fathers, don't exasperate your children, right? Children don't know. They don't have the knowledge base. And so don't pile on all these questions. If you discover your coachees in that category, in that quadrant, that's not a time for that. They need a lot of exhortation, a lot of structure, like you said. All right, how about somebody that's highly motivated? I mean, they really want to do this. They're really excited about Jesus. They're excited about this new job they've been given, but they don't know how to do the job.
Yeah.
What does a coach do?
Well, the temptation at that, I tend to lean into. I get like, oh man, I'm just going to teach this guy everything I know about it. But you really have to help them discern what it is that they need so that they then, after your coaching call, go after it themselves.
Okay.
So we emphasize in the smarter strategies, once the objective is set, that whole experts, who are you going to read? Who are you going to contact? And then as gospel coaches, it's a multidimensional conversation. So we say, you can educate them. You can offer some pieces of training. Again, you want to be careful not to become the solution, right? But you can offer them some things along the way to where you can push them with some skill.
Yeah. So what would be some forms of what we call non-formal education that you could encourage them to get educated? Like what could they turn to?
Yeah, I typically ask them, who do you know who knows something about this, right?
Okay, yes.
Who's somebody who's got experience, right?
Yeah.
That's my first go-to. Sometimes, depending on the person, I might ask them, do you have a book on your shelf? Or if I have one on my shelf that's short and it's just in the nick of time, I might recommend, several times I've recommended to people The 1 Minute Manager, that classic by Ken Blanchard, just because it's short and it's right to the point.
So whatever the subject matter expert is, that's what you're trying to get them to find that subject matter expert on this. A client says, I'm really motivated. I want to build a discipleship program in my church, but they don't know. They've never been discipled. So like you said, who do you know that has a discipleship program that you could go talk to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, putting that on them, but asking that the right question. Okay, so somebody's in the quadrant number three. They're highly motivated and highly skilled.
Now, well, that's your favorite, Tom. Why don't you answer that question? You
love coaching those guys. These guys, I get the high-end, high-performing kind of executives that I'm getting, and they're just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because they're totally motivated. They're totally in. They know what they need to do. And so here's where you're just asking good questions. And the thing you got to really, you know, you got to be able to ask the good heart questions, because these people tend to be very highly driven. And they know what they want. They know how to go get what they want. So you've got to tame the heart in the sense of asking questions about, you know, what are they really living for? But here, the leader's got to set the agenda. Sometimes they ask is, do you think this is the right agenda? Do you think this is the right direction? And you either need to affirm them
mm-hmm.
or encourage them to say and ask the question, you know, well, what gives you pause to think this may not be the right thing?
That's a great question. You ask me that around the office sometimes when I'm looking for a little bit of coaching. Well, what do you think? What gives you pause? And that helps me just then to have the clarity in the moment to say out loud the thing that's been rolling around in the back of my head, which is just the great benefit of gospel coaching.
Yeah, the reason that you're even asking the question is there's some intuitive part of you that says this may not be the right thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then highly skilled and low in motivation, but they got a lot of knowledge. They're in that top left-hand quadrant.
I think that's that one. Again, it goes to the heart, right? What is it in their situation that's causing them to struggle in their motivation? Is it something that is going on relationally? Is it something that's going on, if it's a church planter, are they running up against conflicts? Or what kind of, again, you got to find the nature of the struggle, and you've got to hit them with the questions, those hard questions that get below the surface. Because again, it's not like you just need to hold them accountable to do more, right? That wouldn't be helpful.
Right.
They already know how to do it. They already have the skill. Right. It truly is then when gospel coaching goes right to the root as much as possible.
Yeah, well, so here's what we've discovered, that your coachee is ready to learn when there's an immediate relevance and impact on their job performance or their personal life. And we want to make sure that we're there to provide that readiness coaching when they're ready to get it. So at the end of the day, no matter where you are, we believe the best approach we have points them right back to Jesus Christ. He's the hero of the story. He has the solution they need. So we want to always, in all these quadrants, even when coaching here, let the gospel do its work.
That's adaptive coaching here on the Gospel Coach podcast. We look forward to catching you at the next session.
And there'll be an adaptive coaching worksheet up on the website that they can download for their use.
There will be. Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.